le pusieron la iglesia de la nación y el
Life Point family, welcome to Life Point Church. If you would stand, we're going to begin this service today. Welcome to the United Nations, SAPC. We love this, amen. One day we're all nations and tribes are going to be gathered in heaven, praising our Lord forevermore, amen. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice in it. We rejoice because we are saved by grace. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, oh God, and may we always have grateful hearts, not just this day, this week, this month, that it is Thanksgiving, but may we always praise you with Thanksgiving in our hearts. Whether we're going through challenges or not, whether times are good or times are bad, we want to praise you because you are worthy of all our praises. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Let us worship His mercies are new every morning. all the praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. He is holy, holy, holy. We praise you, Jesus. Praise the name of our sweet Savior. Put your hands together one more time for this song. He is worthy of all our praises.
Holy, holy, In the Savior's love. Lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. just help us, Father, to come back and say thank you for the sacrifice that you've done for us. Without that sacrifice, Father, that will be not safe people, Jesus. And you've done it for us, and we want to thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray for our church family, Father. We pray that this time and this season, Father, that we do a complete circle back and come back to you, Father, and see all the blessings that you have given us, Jesus. And Father, thank you for everything you've done for us. Use this church, Father, to bless others, Jesus. Through your love, Father, use every one of us. Father, we pray for all those who are in need today, Father, for those that are not here with us today, Father, for those families that are struggling, Jesus. Oh, help us, O Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, for we will never forget, and you always come through for us, Jesus. And it is in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. You might want to have a seat. Thank you, church. Good morning. We are delighted to be able to worship the Lord. How about this worship team? They always do a great job. I just want to remind you that if you are new with us today, we are glad to have you. There's a blue card in front of you and the seats in the pockets. If you want to kind of leave your name and number, we would like to follow up with you. We are blessed to have you here. And there's a lot of things going on. November is almost over, but the church keeps going. There's a lot of things going on. Let me kind of recap a little bit of things that happened already. This past week, we had we were delivering meals with a turkey and a full bag of groceries. We had over 40 turkeys delivered. Trust me, there were families that were at awe. I got the challenge in delivery. I was told to go into a certain neighborhood and knock at the doors without announcing and say, you know, we are for Lackland Church, here's a bag. And you know, I'm sure that they're still thinking about it, you know. Some of them rejected them. They looked at me like I was from Mars. But, you know, that's we need to be bold, you know. And I'm glad that Pastor put me to that because I needed it. But we did bless some families, and all the reports that we got back was that people were, they were like at all. And you know, we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose the fact that we need to be thankful to the Lord. And the Lord had given us so much, despite of the circumstances sometimes. We are so blessed. And you're going to hear more about it in a short while from Pastor. So another thing, too, the men had a little tournament yesterday. And it got pretty intense. It was cornhole. And we have a team that won. And I'm going to say the name. Everybody was a winner because they showed up. And nobody got a trophy. Actually, the winners did. But it was a good time of fellowship among the men. We're going to do that next year as well. Thank you all the men that came by and all those who worked for it. Let's not forget this Tuesday. You know, there's still a lot going. This Tuesday is our Thanksgiving dinner, and we're going to have a special guest comedian. This is for our church family, and if you want to invite somebody, we're going to have the church is going to put the main meats and stuff like that. So bring your favorite plate, you know, whatever you're used to it, so everybody can have a good try. And we're going to have a blessed night, I believe. It's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. If you have any questions, you can see any of us after church, our pastor, and just bring a lot of food. Food is always good. Also, I just want to mention that the office is going to be closed Wednesday through Friday, Saturday, because of the observance. But then on Saturday, we have the Christmas decoration. And it's my favorite time of the year. We have a bunch of decorations up somewhere in the attic there. So we're going to bring all that down. We're going to just decorate the church. So if you are interested, the details are in the bulletin here. And we're also still going through the food drive. This is another food drive that we have. And there's a table in the hallway. People are still bringing bags. Today was the last day, but I believe Pastor said that you can still bring it on Monday or Tuesday if you're able. So let's continue to bless those that are in need. And last but not least, we have a missions meeting on Friday the 30th. I believe it's Friday. And this is kind of an informational meeting for our mission trip that the church is planning, and Pastor and the outreach person is planning. And I believe it's in Russia, right? Who wants to go to Russia? Nobody said you're going to go to Hawaii for that week, you know? We got to pinch in for that, but if you are interested, there's going to be an informational meeting, and hopefully you'll discover how cool it is. So without that, you'll be blessed, and Pastor, I'll give you the mic. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Welcome to Life Point Church today. I hope you're doing well. I want to tell you, it was really cool. We had for Tuesday, for Thanksgiving celebration, we had themed the church of every nation represented in our church. And I was real excited. We had a sign-up sheet. You were supposed to sign up. Not everybody did. It's okay. Because one person came in and they said, I don't see my flag. And I was like, what? What did all this work? I didn't know. So you may not see your country's flag there, but if you'll see me after the service, I'll make a flag tonight at my house and make sure it's made. Here's the reason why we do that. It's a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal for Americans to come together and celebrate diversity. Not just recognize it, but honestly celebrate it. That doesn't happen all around the world and places, but as a body of Christ and as a body of believers, in coming here, I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that all tribes and nations can come together with love for one another, not looking at anything else other than we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think it's a testimony, a great testimony to this church, that we are diverse as we are. And so if you... There is no Alabama flag up there either, somebody up there. But I try to explain to them Alabama's not really a country. You think it is, but it's really not. It is part of America. I'm excited for Tuesday, and I hope you're excited to be here with friends and family. Everybody's invited, and we're going to celebrate Tuesday night. Just the good things that God has done. Amen? So with having said that, I'm going to invite our ushers to come down this morning. And we will take up our tithes and offerings. And I just want to remind you, to say once again, thank you. Thank you for your continued support as we still continue to transition here. And God has been faithful, and you have been faithful. It is well documented that things are going real well in the church, and we want to say thank you this morning. So, Father, we come before you once again in this time of worship. God, we just give back to you the tithe that is yours, God. And everyone in this room can testify to the goodness of God. And Lord, we pray that you bless this offering this morning. And Lord, let us use it to further the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. I want to thank you for being here once again this morning. And I do have a message to share with you. I'm going to say for some of us in this room, this message right here, it's probably one of the most important messages you're going to hear all year long. And I know you hear a lot from me, but I'm telling you, I believe that what I'm going to speak about today is a key for you to unlock what God has for your life. A key, an attitude, a key for you to have for God to unlock what's going to happen next in your life. How many of you are praying for something to happen in some situation? That's probably everybody in this room. And I believe it's by no coincidence that we find ourselves here this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to talk about a few things this morning, but the title of this is The Power of Thanksgiving. There is a supernatural power that Scripture shows us, you've probably experienced it, that if we would have a thankful heart, God would open doors in our life. God would open doors in your life if you were thankful. Now, I'm going to stretch your thinking a little bit this morning. Because Thanksgiving is a United States holiday. It's not a Christian holiday. That fits in with the Christian morals that we could say, okay, it sounds like a Christian holiday, but it's not. And there will be millions of people on Thanksgiving that gather around a table with a dead animal or whatever you choose to eat. And we'll all sit around, and sometimes the conversation goes like this. Let's talk about the things that we're thankful for. And I get that. And you've grown up like that and probably done. But I'm going to make us go a little deeper this morning. And what are you thankful for? Because the reason I say that is because there'll be millions of Americans and people around the world that are not believers, but they're thankful for stuff. Amen? That doesn't mean that they're saved, necessarily. But I'm going to show you a few things today that I think as we gather with our families, and maybe you're alone, whatever your situation is this week, that you're going to see there's so much more to be thankful for. There's a power in Thanksgiving. I'm going to look at a few stories. But I want you to, I want to start right here and build the foundation today with this statement. It says, in everything, give thanks. Now, I mean, you know, I want to think about that a minute. Everything. Does it say, give thanks for the good things? Does it say this? Give thanks for what you have. It says what? In everything. That's good and bad. That's plenty and lack. That's sick or healthy. In everything, give thanks. Now listen to the next part of this verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I can't tell you how many times in the ministry I've counseled people and sat and talked with people, and people struggle. They struggle with the will of God for their life. What's the will of God for my life? Is the will of God a place? Is it a destination? Is it a ministry? And all the things that people think about the will of God. And I will tell you this morning, you will never fully know the will of God for your life if you're not thankful. If you're not thankful, not just thankful, but thankful in everything. Now, how is it possible to be thankful in everything? We're going to look at that this morning. Like, I don't need your help telling me that when I have a new home and a new car and a nice job and I have a healthy income and I have everything right, I don't need you to help me be thankful with that. Everybody understand that, right?
Yeah.
But what about when things aren't so good? What about when my finances, my outflow doesn't equal my inflow? Anybody ever lived there before? If you haven't, go into the ministry. You'll understand. That's just a joke. All of us have experienced probably that in our life. And I think God lets us go through that. I think that's just a normal flow for the believer. Why? Because God will teach you that you can give thanks in everything. And like I said, we're going to go through a progression this morning. And I want you to think about where you find yourself in this progression of what are you thankful for. Like I said, many people are thankful for the things they do have and the good things, but I think as a believer, we can be thankful for many things and everything. I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. I believe the enemy tries to keep us from being thankful for everything. Amen? One of the things that takes away our spirit of thanksgiving is called the spirit of complaining. Have you ever met a complainer before? Do you live with a complainer? Hold on. Don't even say anything right now. Complainers are not thankful, but hold on. We're not going to go there this morning. We're going to talk about something else. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Well, that's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement. We're going to look at a story that was written in the Gospels in Luke chapter 17. That's where we're going to start. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. I'm going to read through the story, and then we'll come back and talk about it. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. One version you'll see in a little bit reads like this: your faith has made you whole. I'm going to ask you this morning, who needs to be made whole? Who has areas of deficiencies in your life and you say, you know what, I need to be made whole. It was one thing for this man to be cleansed of leprosy. 10 were cleansed, 1 was made whole. There's a huge difference in being whole and being clean. There are people that go to the hospital every day that get healed of diseases and medical treatments that heal their bodies, but their souls and minds still lack when they leave. Jesus wants you in your life to be made whole today. And I believe the key to wholeness is a thankful heart. A thankful heart. Psalm 100, verse 4. I think about the trip down A1A from South Broward County into Miami. Has anyone ever just driven down through there before and dreamed? Or whatever you do. I've only done it a few times in my life, but you drive down through some of those towns through there, man, and you look on the side of the beach, and there are these homes that are like, how do people buy that stuff? That's what I ask. Where do they work? What church do they preach at? That's what I say. And I was like, I need to go work there. I don't know. But there's something funny about those houses. And no matter where you go or who you are, when you walk up to those houses, if you don't have a code to get in, you're not coming through the gate. Unless you're like me and you just jump over it. And you just say, look, I'm just here to look, man. But don't do that. And I probably mentioned this to you before, but in other words, to get in the gate, what do you have to have? Code. And I want to tell you that sometimes I'm going to stretch your thinking a little bit this morning that we've missed the mark of what it takes to really get to God. This word says here, if you want to come to Him, now, let me tell you, I don't want you to be confused, but I want you to know the truth this morning. You don't sing your way to Jesus. I'm sorry. You don't come to Him with worship. The Bible says you come into His gate with what? Thanksgiving. If you're not thankful, you're not coming. That's the code. That's the gate code right there. Now, once you get in, what brings you in His court? Praise. So you can praise and not be thankful. Well, guess what you're doing? You're singing outside the gate. There's a huge difference. Because you have to know that Thanksgiving, God, I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, brings you into the place that says, now you're in. But crying, complaining, worrying, doubting, you're still outside. And if there's one thing that I know that we struggle with is all those things. Why? Because life happens. You go through circumstances. You go through everything. And at the end of the day, when we go through all that, the Bible tells us that in all things we should what? Help me, Lord. I am not thankful for all that. But I can be. If I choose to be, if I will slow down for a moment, I can be thankful in everything. That's why I'm telling you this morning, after this message, I don't know what you're going through today, but I believe somebody in this room is going to have a new perspective on what you're going through. And if you and I can change our attitude just a little bit, say, Lord, I'm thankful even for that right there. God will start to make some things happen in your life. Amen? Are you ready for something to happen? Verse 11, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, I'm going to stop right here and just tell you. Sometimes Jesus will go out of his way to find you. If you don't believe that, think about where you were when he found you. Think about how your life was when he came to you. Because how many of you remember the old Bibles? Not the ones that are in your phone, but the ones that you still carry. How many of you still carry one? Now, I'm not into you're no more holy or not if you carry one or not. It really, you're not, but whatever. But the older Bibles had a map in it, didn't it? How many of you have a map in your Bible today? Praise God. That's good. But the reason those maps were in there is for us to study and understand the importance of why this stuff was written. And if you look at the map of Samaria and Galilee to where Jerusalem is, that's a long way to come through the middle of all that stuff. To come all the way from Galilee down through Samaria to Jerusalem, the Bible says it came in the midst. It came right through the middle. It didn't even have to come that way. And not only was it the way he came that was interesting, but where he went was interesting. Of all the places you would think Jesus would go, why would he go to a town filled with lepers? Why would he go to the place that was, I'm going to tell you what it was the worst of the worst. Not only were they lepers, but there the Bible says one of them was a what? Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. So how does that work? What did the woman at the well tell him in John 4? He said, listen, I mean, she said, Samaritans and Jews, we don't have dealings together. This was a prejudice with these two people groups. And Jesus says this, I'm going to go right in the middle. I'm going to go right to the worst place. And let me tell you this morning, Jesus wants to go to the worst place in your life. That's where he wants to go. He don't want you to just jump and shout when everything's going good. And he wants to be in the worst spot wherever you are today. He says, that's where I'm going to show up. That's where I want to be. So here he is in this town. And then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. They stood far off. And it's interesting that the Bible notes that. Why didn't they run up to him then? Same reason we don't run up to him now. Why? Because we listen to the voices in our head sometimes that say, you're not worthy to be with him. You've done too much in your life to be close to him. You've made too many mistakes. Or maybe it sounds like this, God's not really for you. Look what you've been through. Look at the mistakes you've made. That's a lie. So from afar off, they're standing back, and they lifted up their voices. Verse 13, now this is where the story gets interesting. In verse 13, it says, they lifted up their voices and said this, Jesus, Master. Now it's one thing to call him Jesus, but now you went on and called him Master. And then they say this, have mercy on us. Now, I know this to be true. You've probably experienced it in your own life, and I've taught about this in our prayer series on Wednesday night. There's one prayer that moved Jesus every time in Scripture. There was one prayer that every time it was said, Jesus stopped what he was doing. It was this one right here. Jesus, have mercy. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew, one of them says, and this is 10 men. Now, I think if you think through the story for a minute, you'll understand what I'm fixing to say. How many came back? One came back of how many? 10. So of the 10 that are standing here, one of them, I'm going to say probably one of them, had enough sense to say, hold on a minute, guys. I know this man. Let me tell you, these 10 guys didn't have the Bible they were reading about Jesus. They didn't have Netflix to watch The Passion of the Christ, okay? All they had were stories that were circling around the region about this man named Jesus. But somebody in the tent, I think you know who it is, somebody in that tent said this, if you'll cry Jesus and you'll let him be your master, he'll have mercy on you. I know, maybe he had seen it, he had heard, I don't know how he knew. Somebody knew, I don't even know if it was the Samaritan that knew. The only reason I'm going to think it was him is why? Because he came back. He came back. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. And this is interesting right here. So when he saw them, he said, this is the only thing he says in these things. He doesn't run and touch them. He doesn't say, according to your word, let it be. All the stuff that you see him do in Scripture, and we see different ways that Jesus touches people. He does this only time that you really see it recorded. He says, Go and show yourself to the priest. Now, you know, you probably know, the reason he had to go to the priest was because in that time, you were unclean with leprosy. Not only were you sick, you were unclean. You were quarantined to this city or other cities like it. You weren't allowed to touch anyone. You weren't allowed to go in the synagogue for church. You talk about a mess, catch leprosy. Not only were you walking, your foot fall off, you were socially an outcast, emotionally abandoned. Jesus said to them, go show yourself to the priest. The priest would have been the one to declare them clean. And listen to this next part. And you got to follow it close. It says, so as they went, so it was that as they went, they were healed. It doesn't say, let me read it to you a different way, see if you catch it. It doesn't say, and they were healed, and then they went. It said, as they went. Do you understand the measure of faith it took to go there? Now, I think we find ourselves here more than any other way there is with Jesus, who's with me this morning. Now, I would love to say to you that it was always the case that when we had a prayer moment in the church or whatever, that you would just come here and we touched you and you walked away clean and healed. It's not the case, is it? How many of you are walking through situations right now that you are believing by faith and you're still walking, but it's not there yet? I know people that are visiting doctors today that aren't well, but they're still believing that God is going to heal them. Sometimes you just got to keep going. Amen? Sometimes you just got to believe. You got to believe by faith. Listen, Hebrews 11:30. Watch what it says. This is the story. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled, what? 7 days. Well, it would have been cool to write the book and say, you know, the first time they walked around it, it just fell. Well, that's false doctrine and false theology when we teach that. Some people in this room today are walking out some serious faith issues. But because we know what the Scripture says, that I can, even though I don't see it yet, I can be thankful. I can be thankful. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God, which proves to me God did not forget me. And it don't feel good. Who's with me? Walking this thing out, it's not always easy. But you got to believe. Somewhere. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why these 10 guys took off. I don't believe all 10 of them really believed Jesus was their master. That's just my opinion. I believe one of them did. But I believe all 10 of them wanted to be healed. Amen? I believe people who are sick today want to be made right. I believe even people in our community that don't know Jesus, they want their life to be made right. Somewhere deep down inside. And these guys were tired of living an abandoned life. And they said, okay, let's go. And Jesus healed them. He cleansed them. Let me back up. He cleansed them. And I believe even today, I do believe what I'm going to tell you. Jesus touches people that you and I would think He wouldn't. He's a sovereign God. There is no indication other than what they said for us to believe these people were that close to Jesus. But He touched them. As they went on their way. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you are on your way waiting for God to show up? You're on your way. You're not there yet. I'm not here. My life is not where I want it to be yet, but I'm not going to give up. I'm on my way, and I'm just going to proclaim this. I'm healed. I got to go to the doctor, but I'm going to tell him I'm healed. I'm going to be healed. I mean, you know, my outflow does not equal my income. Hello? But I'm not going to be down and out. I'm going to believe that God's going to work this thing out. I'm going to talk about some levels of thanksgiving this morning that you are going to have to determine where am I at with my heart. And I'm talking about the old common level of thanksgiving is this. Well, I'm just thankful for what I have. But I'm going to tell you, for the believer, you better be thankful for more than that. I'm going to walk through a couple of things today. You're going to see you can be thankful even in the darkest moment of your life. You can lift up your voice and say, God, I thank you. It takes a lot of faith, don't it? It takes a lot of faith. People will call you crazy. After, as soon as this first service was over this morning, this woman stopped me in the hallway. And she wanted to go to Russia, but the doctor said no because she has blood clots. He didn't want her in an airplane that long. And you know what she said to me? I mean, it just blew my mind. I didn't think she was listening to the service. She said, I'm thankful that I have blood clots. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, because God told me to be thankful in everything. And I know that he's working this out for my good. See, that's what we got to understand. By faith. You can't just take the here and now and say, well, this is it right here. No. God said all things work to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's how, as a believer, we can walk through hard trials and situations and still give him thanks. And I'm telling you now, when you give him thanks, what have you done? You open the door to the gate. You understand what I'm saying? There is something supernatural that happens when you give him thanks. In the midst of everything. No touch, no spoken word. Go show yourself. That's what he said. Verse number 16. Let me back up. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And they threw that in there for us just so we would remember. If there was anybody who wouldn't have returned, it would have been this guy. But the least likely of candidates, somehow on the road to see the priest, realized what just happened to him. And realized that not only then he set me free and cleansed me, but he just changed my life. He just changed my life. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10? Wait a minute. This guy is laying face down at his feet, giving him thanks. You don't know what Jesus could have said, but Jesus makes a clear statement. Were there not 10? Where are the 9? Let me ask you this morning. Have you turned to come back to him yet? Have you turned to come back to him yet? Have you been through something lately and God showed up? Or are we so fast and furious and running through life from one thing to the next that we forget to stop and go back? And I'm asking you for your own benefit this morning. Have you forgotten maybe to turn around and go back and thank him? I'm going to be honest with you. There's times in my life I've done that. How many of you have kids? I talk about kids a lot, I know. And you do things for your kids, moms, dads, grandparents, everybody in this room. You do things for your kids. Every once in a while it's nice when your kid somehow gets this prophecy in their head to come back and say, gee, Mom, thanks. Now, my kids have never said it, I don't think. But that's okay. But you know you like to be thanked when you do something. That's human nature. Well, what about Jesus? What was he fixing to do for this guy? What was he fixing to do for all of humanity? And this guy comes back. He says, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Verse 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this? This is how Jesus refers to the guy. Foreigner? Was there not any found? Did it not mean anything to anybody? That I gave them the one thing in their life that they needed to get to the next place. They didn't even have the ability to come back and say, thank you. You're the only one. Watch what happens to this guy, verse 19. Now the other ones were cleansed, right? They were cleansed. And I guarantee you there were many sleepless nights in that village where they were saying to each other, man, I sure hope we get well, because I don't want my life to end like this. But something else happens to this guy. And he said to him, he didn't say it to all of them, he said it to him, the one who was thankful. He said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. You see, now hold on a minute. A thankful heart took him from cleansed to whole. Well, what does whole mean? What does whole mean? Let me tell you what it means. This is what whole means. This is how I interpret it. If I was to make this statement this morning, if you were to come to this altar and I say, we lay our hands on you, and every broken thing in your life was made right, that's being made whole. Who would come up here? We'd have to extend the service a little bit. But let me say this. If you want every broken thing in your life to be right, thank Jesus for what he's done for you. Quit complaining about what you don't have. Quit worrying and being fearful of what might happen. Be thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you've been through. The heart of thanksgiving opens the gate. The heart of thanksgiving in this man went from cleansed to whole. Who needs to be made whole today? Thanksgiving will get you there. Amen? I'm going to look at a couple of things this morning to categorize where we might be with our heart of thanksgiving. Are you with me? Luke chapter 18, verse 11. Now this is a very... I think this is a common Thanksgiving prayer or Thanksgiving statement that a lot of people will probably make on Thursday. Hopefully nobody in this room, but it's very common when you only look at yourself and look at your life and the great things you have and look what I have and all this. You know, that's a bad way to live. But this is a Pharisee standing up in church praying, standing in the synagogue, and listen to what he says. The Pharisee stood, he said, I thank you. He's thanking God that I am not like other men. That's messed up. I mean, that'd be like me praying this. Thank God I'm not like y'all. And that's, you know, that's messed up. But that's the way some people think a thankful heart looks like. Why? Because it's very self-centered. That same guy that would make that statement would also make this statement. Lord, thank you for my house. Thank you for my car. And we are thankful for what we have, are we not? Yeah. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I'm going to take you today on some levels of thanksgiving that are going to stretch the way you think. Why? Even sinners are thankful for what they have. Come on. Amen? A level of thanksgiving. Listen to me. That opens supernatural things in your life. Okay? How about this one? Luke 17, the story we just talked about. At the very least, we should be thankful for what God's done for us. And slow down and think for a moment. What has God done for me that I can be thankful for? Now, how many of you have been in this situation before, and I'm sure it's all of us, that instead of being thankful and looking back, we look to the next problem or issue. We say, oh Lord, how am I going to get through this? What's going to happen next? You know, he's like, oh man. And I'm going to say, hold on a minute. If you would slow down, let me help you. And be thankful for what God's done. Because thankfulness, listen to me, thankfulness, reminding yourself of how thankful you are, helps you remember what God's done for you. Instead of worrying about what needs to happen next, you have a memory of what God's already brought you through. How many in this room this morning have God has brought you through some serious stuff in your life? If he did it once, listen to me, he will do it again. You don't have to worry. Thanksgiving keeps us reminded of what he has the power to do. Okay, ready? Also, thanksgiving, the thankful heart, where did this man go when he was thankful? Very clear, the Bible says, When this man was thankful, he ran back to Jesus, and where did he fall? He fell at his feet. He fell at his feet, face down. Thanksgiving keeps you focused on God, not your problem. Heart of thankfulness keeps you focused on God. How many of you are facing some things in your life today, man, and you say, hey, it's looking pretty rough? That's probably everybody. We're all in the same boat here. We all journey through life, but I'm telling you, thankful heart for what God's done for you. And the last one I'm going to talk about is even further down the line. For somebody who is, you're thankful for what you got, you're thankful for what God's done, but there's another level of thanksgiving that's going to stretch you to a whole other place. And if you can find yourself there, you're opening yourself up for God to do the supernatural in your life. And I'm going to tell you, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's written in the Bible, but it's crazy. You ready? John chapter 6, verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea, let me read it from here, saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, the other boats came from Tiberias near the place they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Stop right there. Now, I want to explain to you what just happened. These people were beside the sea and they were following Jesus. They were going. They were following the boat. They wanted to be by him. But John records this in such a supernatural way that it changes this whole story. This is the day after he fed the multitude. That's what it said, the next day. That's why I read that to you. So it's the day after they fed the multitude. John is explaining where he was at and where people were going. Listen to how he writes it, okay? However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread, what? After the Lord had given thanks. That's how he describes the place they were at. Now, why do you think he does that? Why do you think of all the places, I would have just said, they were at the place where Jesus broke the bread. That's not what he said. He said, that's the place where Jesus gave thanks. Why? Because John understood the power of that moment, what Jesus just did. And I know I've shared this story in here before, and I'll share it a lot in this church because it's my favorite. But what Jesus does with this level of thanksgiving puts us in a whole other category of being thankful. Now, I'm thankful, like the guy said, that I'm not like you. Well, okay, but that was one level. As bad as that was one level. The Pharisee said, I'm thankful I'm not like other men. Okay, get out of here. Well, the next guy was thankful for what God had done for him. Amen? Yeah. We could at least be that guy. To run back to the feet and say, thank you, Lord. But this one goes to a whole other level. Because he called it the place where Jesus gave thanks. Well, what did Jesus give thanks for? Anybody remember? I'm going to tell you what he gave thanks for. Let me tell you the whole story. There were 5,000 men plus women and children. So people estimate how many were there, but in reality, nobody really knows. 5,000 men plus women and children. And Jesus confronts his disciples and says, let's feed these people. And they say this, well, listen, 200 denarii would not even be enough to buy bread and stuff to feed all these people. How are we going to do it? And what did Jesus say? What do you have? What do you have in your hand? And you know, that's when the little boy walks up and they have what? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Remember what John called the place where the Lord had given thanks. You got to think through this a minute. Hold on. Jesus gave thanks. What was the importance of him giving thanks? I think what the importance was, there was over 5,000 people standing there. He had 5 loaves of bread. It wouldn't feed 2 people. It was a boy's, a little kid's lunch. What did Jesus do? The Bible says he took it, and he broke it, and he gave thanks. This is another level of thanksgiving, I'm going to tell you. Listen, when he gave thanks, the Bible said that when he gave thanks, he shared it with the disciples. The disciples gave it to the people sitting on the ground, and when they were done eating, there were 12 baskets left over. This level of thanksgiving, I'm going to call this. You're thankful for what's not even enough. Jesus proved if you're thankful for what's not enough, he can make it into more than enough. I'm talking about a whole other supernatural level of thanksgiving that when you, honestly, it would look like this. You receive a paycheck that don't even cover your bills, and instead of freaking out and going nuts, you sit it on your table and say, you know what? I'm thankful for that right there. Why? I'm going to be thankful for what God gave me because I know when I put it in his hands, he can do anything with it. You might be in a relationship today. You may be in a problem today. You may have something going on. I don't know what it is. You go on, quit crying, quit complaining. Put it in the hands of the master and watch what he does with it. If you can get it in his hands and say, thank you. I get the guy standing there thanking God for his nice life. You with me? I get the guy that thanks God for my new precious home and my great red Corvette with black leather interior. And, yeah. Cannot put a car seat in the Corvette. Learn that. I get those Thanksgivings. And you know, you will have that. I'm not saying that. And for some of you in this room, you know, I'm sure you've been blessed beyond measure, and you should be thankful for that. But if that's the level that your Thanksgiving is, we're missing. Because the next guy says, okay, I'm thankful because of what you just did for me. And I'm not going to go with the flow and keep running. I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to worship you at your feet because nobody knows what I just went through, and you just fixed it. But John, I think John had a whole new revelation of a thankful heart. And that's why he called the place where, you know, in other words, he was described. He said, remember when God gave thanks for 5 loaves? But he fed 5,000. That place. That's the place I think God wants us to be. Remember what he said in Thessalonians. Give thanks for everything. 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 How many of you got some everythings in your life today that you can be thankful for? I've got some everythings in my life that I've been complaining about, if you want to know the truth. But I think God revealed to me it's time to stop complaining and start being thankful, because thanksgiving opens the gate of his house. And you enter into a place with him through a thankful heart that changes everything. Changes everything. That's why I asked you very first this morning, do you need something to happen in your life? And your problem may not be prayer. Your problem may not be Bible reading. Your problem may not be church attendance. Your problem may be you ain't even thankful for what you got right now. You're standing outside the gate. You're looking at the mansion, but you can't get in because you're complaining. How many of you have ever worried about something? How many of you are worried right now? That I'm not going to hush. I don't know. You're worried about something, man. Listen, I get it. This is what we all struggle with. But it teaches us that thankful heart. Now, I'm not talking, seriously. God can do supernatural things. He moved supernaturally in the life of that leper. How? Not only did he cleanse him, but he made him whole. The one that gave thanks was made whole. Life restored. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet this morning. And I want to encourage you. I don't want to confuse you. Because you and I should be thankful for everything God did for us. But I hope you understand the message this morning. It's not just for the good stuff. It's not just for what is right. Maybe somebody in this room this morning, let me help you. You have a relationship that's gone awry with someone in your life. Very common. Maybe your prayer life needs to change for a season. Instead of asking God to fix them or whatever needs to happen, I would go to God and say this. Lord, I'm thankful for that person. Now you're praying like John was talking about. Yeah, it's not all right yet. The relationship's not right, and we don't even get along, and we can't even talk right now, but I'm still thankful. I'm still thankful for him. Because I know when I'm thankful And it's in the hands of God that relationship can be restored to more than I ever thought it could be to begin with. Amen? Thankful heart opens the gate to the mansion of God. And He can do supernatural things in your life. Amen? I want to ask you this morning, we're going to get ready to close, and we're going to take a few moments and open the altar this morning. I don't know what's going on. I'm not saying anything's going on. Maybe you're at a place in your life, though, where maybe it goes back. You're more like the leper today. And you say, you know what? I just need to run back to Jesus and tell Him thank you. You know, you can never do that too many times, right? Some of you in here have come through so much in your life that you constantly run back to Jesus and say thank you. You have been through enough. Maybe you've been through one thing and that was enough for you. One time it was enough for you to say, I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. Or maybe you're that life that things just aren't adding up right now, that nothing's adding up. Can't even find anything to be thankful for. But I'm going to be thankful for what's not even right today. Put it in His hand. Watch what it does for you. Amen? God bless you this morning. We're going to take a few moments and I'm going to open the altar. And I have some people in here that want to pray with you today. If you want to pray with someone, any prayer in your life, I think as we get ready to conclude our service and move on with our week, I want you to be in that place with Jesus where you're okay. That's right. Amen? After this morning, we have a understanding of how to, in all things and everything, we give you thanks, God, for what's good, for what's bad, everything in our life. We give you thanks. Lord, those that are here this morning that are struggling, that are going through situations, God, I pray that you would help them today. Help them understand that the season is going to pass, to not lose the thankful heart.
Joe went to the ball game. I saw you on Facebook. I saw you had a fun time.